Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I had a couple of somewhat unusual experiences over the course of this past week. Not, you know, mind-boggling, just a little bit unusual for me. One was I had to change an inner tube on my oldest son's bicycle. Now, this is something I've done before, but it's been a long time. And let me just briefly tell you why I had to change the inner tube. You see, the boys had a cousin come over several weeks ago, and they were riding bikes and skateboards and scooters and whatever, and they decided that one particular bike tire needed a little more air in it. And the way it was described to me is, they said, I can't remember if we pumped it up to 40 PSI or 80 PSI. So we bought a new inner tube for the tire. And just the mechanics of taking the wheel off and getting the tire off the frame and getting the inner tube out and putting the new thing, just all those mechanics. And it all came together pretty well. There was a little hiccup when he first tried to ride it and the chain fell off. I just didn't have enough tension in the chain. We got that fixed, and it's all fixed now. Like, it's all good, right? But that was an unusual experience to me. I've done it before, but it was unusual to me. The other one, that experience that I had this week is I had a button come off of an item of clothing, and I had to sew it back on. Now, both of these things are things I've done before. The button thing, I had to go look up instructions on YouTube. It was not something that remained in my brain from the last time I did it. And so I had to go and I had to look at it. And it all worked out well. Like, that part, good. I can wear that again. And so it's all good. The bicycle thing, I didn't have to look up any instructions. It was, pun intended, it was sort of like riding a bicycle. Right? It just sort of worked out. I took it apart, got it all put together. The chain thing was a minor hiccup. It's all good. And I wonder for some of us, like, where we lean on either side of that when it comes to our faith life. And let me tell you what I mean. When it comes to waking up on Sunday morning, and it's just sort of automatic that you go through what you need to do to go through and show up at church on Sunday morning. For some folks, that's just automatic. It's what you do. It's a natural part of your life and who you are. Other folks, like, you get up in the morning and like the pillow is like extra soft that morning or something, or your covers are extra warm that morning, or your coffee is extra good that morning. But you have to make that choice to show up in church. I'm not saying any kind of judgment on one or the other, except that I wonder if it's automatic for us if we're being challenged enough. Like, for those who have to make that choice on Sunday morning to go to church, like, I wonder if there's something about worship or the people in church that's challenging, and so you sort of have to make that choice. And for those of us, and maybe I'm included in this group, who it's just sort of an automatic thing, like, maybe we need to be challenged a little bit more so that we have to make that choice. I have a preacher friend, she's retired now, who said to me once, by the way, she'll deny that she said this, but I remember. She said, if somebody doesn't get up at least once a month and walk out during my sermon, then I'm not challenging them enough. Now, I confess there's only one time in the last 15 or so months that someone's gotten up and looked like they were going to walk out. Maybe I'm not pushing you enough, I don't know. But I sort of feel like we're doing okay. Maybe we shouldn't change things up too much. But I hope that even though nobody's gotten up to leave, I hope that together we've been able to challenge one another. I hope that we've been able to push one another, because I believe that, and we've talked about this before, I believe that we are in a better place to learn and grow in our faith when we're out of our comfort zone. Like, I think it's possible to get too comfortable in church, and we need to avoid that. I think we must be challenged if we're going to be transformed and if we're going to respond to God's continuing call to transform the world. I think we have to be challenged to do that. And if we're challenged, then we might find that we have to make that choice to participate in our faith community. I want to read to you this scripture from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. As you recall, we've been going through this sixth chapter for the last several weeks, and this is the conclusion of the sixth chapter. And Jesus has been saying a number of challenging things that both for the hearers of the time and for us today are hard to hear. Jesus talks about being the bread of life, but then he starts saying crazy things like, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. And what do we do with that? And last week, what we did with that is we talked about the doctrine of transubstantiation. I know that some of you were challenged by that doctrine, by that conversation around that doctrine. And in some cases, we disagreed. And I think in the midst of our discomfort around these conversations, we can come to a deeper sense of God, of our own transformation through God's grace, and how we might be called to continue to interact with the world. And so I begin with this 56th verse of the sixth chapter of John. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me lives because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It isn't like the bread your ancestors ate and then they died. If you remember, Jesus continues to parallel the story of the Israelites in the wilderness as they would eat manna. And Jesus continues to say, this is a different thing. This isn't like the manna. God does things new. I want to pause for a second because sometimes we can take that idea of doing a new thing as God changing. And for most of us, in terms of across faith traditions, we think and envision a God who is unchanging. However, I think that we change, and I think that God pays attention, so that as we evolve and need different things from God, I think God notices and responds to us in the way that we need it. So that's what I mean by that, and I just want to be clear about that. So Jesus offers that parallel to the story of the Israelites and says that in response to the changing needs of humanity, God does a new thing. So it isn't like the bread your ancestors ate and then they died. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. But then we come to understand through the scripture how the people who are hearing these things respond. Many of his disciples who heard this said, "This message is harsh. Who can hear it?" Jesus pushes them out of their comfort zone into a place, as I've said, I believe that we can come to greater understanding, deeper understanding of God because we're uncomfortable. Jesus knew that the disciples were grumbling about this, and he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Now, I think it's interesting to think about what inflection Jesus might have used. It's not noted here. We don't know. But I sort of wonder, maybe Jesus simply asked a question, does this offend you? Maybe Jesus was surprised. Does this offend you? I wonder if Jesus continued to push them. Does this offend you? I don't know, but I like that last reading. Does this offend you? What if you were to see the human one, the Son of Man, going up where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life, and flesh doesn't help at all. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, yet some of you don't believe. Jesus knew from the beginning who wouldn't believe and the one who would betray him. This is foreshadowing to what we know will come after the Last Supper. He said, "For this reason I sent to you that none can come to me unless the Father enables them to do so." At this, many of his disciples turned away and no longer accompanied him. In the face of this challenge, Many of those who were gathered there at this synagogue in Capernaum made a choice. And they made the choice to walk away. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter, if you remember my thoughts on Peter, I love Peter because he doesn't have that filter between his brain and his mouth. He often says the most ridiculous things and he often says the most profound things. And here I think he says something profound. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are God's Holy One." Even faced with these challenges, the 12 make the choice to stay. My invitation to you is that you open your heart and your mind to the profound challenge that Christ places on your heart and on your life. And that you, not in spite of that challenge, but because of that challenge, make the choice to be transformed and to participate in God's transforming work in the world. We all get to choose. And I submit to you that we get to choose a whole lot more often than every Sunday morning. We get to choose every moment of every day whether or not we're going to be open to the challenges that Christ placed on us and whether or not we will respond. I invite you to choose Jesus. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, give us your strength and your peace as we recognize the challenging work to which you call us. And as you give us strength and peace, we also ask for your graceful love so that we might be reminded that where we are empty, you fill us. That where we are broken, you heal us. That where we have shortcomings, you fill in our gaps. And that even in our most challenging times, you are the light that draws us out into your love. We pray in the name of your Son, our Christ. Amen.